T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair. Yeah.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For sure.
On 95.7, The Game.
We're getting down to the nitty-gritty with the Golden State Warriors. 4 games left. They're sitting in the 8th spot right now, and they're looking at a back-to-back set against Utah and Phoenix. And guys, first of all, good morning. Hope you guys had a great weekend, Dibs and Goo. But the one thing I was thinking about is there's a big difference between the 8th and 9th seed. When it comes to this play-in tournament. Right now the Warriors have 8, but they got to stay in 8 to give themselves the best chance, guys. And that's why this next 4-game stretch, the last 4 games of the year, absolutely monumental for them, Goo.
Yeah, and I'm excited. And, you know, all week long, last week, even over the weekend, fellas, I was, oh, you don't want to play the Lakers in that 7-8 matchup. But, Steiny, you are right. You get 8. You assure yourself of insurance, Geico, so you get that extra game. So that's why I'm juiced. Bring the Lakers on. Let's test it then. Because last night I was nervous, but I thought to myself, you get an extra game. So that's the benefit of going 9-10 to where if you lose, you're out, Dibs.
Yeah, and that's where you want it. You want to have the double elimination as opposed to the single elimination, which would be single twice. If you get to the 8, well, it's a double elimination scenario where 1-1 is good enough. If you're the 9 or the 10 seed, 1-1, and you're not in the playoffs. You know, no matter if you lose the first, you don't get a second. You win the first and lose the second, you're out. So 8 is everything, but as it looks right now, the way it's headed, it's going to come down to that last game, because if there's not a 2-game difference between Memphis and Golden State, then they're going to play it on the floor.
Yeah, Dibs, and that last game looks like it's going to matter, and it's going to matter a lot, because take a listen to this. If whoever wins that game, the last game between the Warriors and the Grizzlies, and it's the season finale,
yeah,
that team wins the season series. So if the Warriors are a game behind the Grizzlies going into that game and they beat the Grizzlies, they will become the 8th seed, because they will have won the tiebreaker. If the Grizzlies go into that game behind the Warriors by a game but win the last game, then the Grizzlies will finish tie and win the tiebreaker. So essentially, unless there's a 2-game difference between those teams, which, I don't know that it can happen, but it would take one of those teams losing maybe their next 3. It's going to come down to that last game. And it's going to matter. It's going to, because if you look at this, the whole thing, the difference between 8 and 9 is the most significant difference in this whole playoff scenario, but for maybe the difference between 6 and 7, because 6 doesn't have to worry about a play-in game.
Yeah,
and I would throw in 10 and 11 too, Goo, just real quick, because if you're 11, you're not in, and the Spurs are still kind of sweating that out. The Pelicans, Kings in Hail Mary mode, but the 11-10 loser, then again, the lottery comes into play at that point, guaranteed.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you too, Steiny and Dibs, because I haven't seen you. The Warriors have played 8 quarters of basketball, and I know it's against the lowly Thunder. I've been left at the altar all season long, different junctures, to where I'm like, you know what, Steiny, that's the game. They're about to take off. And then they play somebody and fall on their face like we saw a couple weeks ago against Dallas. I say that to say, without Pascal, we don't know what's up with Oubre. What do you make of this team right now, the way they're playing? Steph showed out. It's incredible. But Steiny Dibs, how confident are you that they can take care of business tonight against the likes of Utah without Donovan Mitchell? I expect, before you answer, I expect that's a winnable game at home.
Yeah, I think they're right now, I think, I like where the Warriors are. And, you know, you brought something up that to me is very interesting, and it's kind of defies logic from where I sit. But I think the Warriors right now, I don't know if they're playing their best basketball this season, but they have the best understanding of how they have to play to be successful. And here's what I was thinking. I don't know if they're better without certain guys, but sometimes I think they're better off without certain players. And we look at Wiseman, Oubre, and Pascal. And those three players, while they're all legit NBA players, I think the Warriors might be better off not having to worry about those players, because it's become obvious that Wiseman was somewhat of an anchor on the floor, both offensively and defensively. You know, Oubre, I'm not sure that he's a fit on this team, other than a sixth man coming in as a big-time scorer. And before Pascal got hurt, you know, he was somebody who the team was just going to time and time again. I think those three, if you make a list of the Warriors players, Dibs, those three players are among the worst on the team in terms of how to play with Steph Curry. And I think that's where they're benefiting right now. They might not be as talented, but guys like JTA and Mulder and Damian Lee, they know how to play with Steph Curry, and that's the only way the Warriors are going to win, if Steph Curry thrives.
Yeah, and I think it was Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Correct me, wrestling fans, if I'm wrong. Know your role and shut your mouth, I think, is the essence of would that be The Rock then? I'm not a wrestling guy. Thank you,
Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, you know, all those guys look alike to me when they put on the tutu or the onesie, the singlet, so to speak. But I digest, Steiny. That's basically what it is. Kevon knows his role. Andrew Wiggins, soft and warm, the quiet storm, knows his deal, how to get it done. Oubre Jr. is looking for the big bag alert, as we've talked about before. And, you know, I think that it's easy to see who understands what this team does best and who doesn't.
Great point. Steiny, I was just going to say, you guys got me juiced, but I hear what you're saying, but we saw the Pelicans game where 8 bodies is not enough. You know, you could be playing basketball at a high level, but fatigue makes cowardice of all men. So I want nothing to do with no Pascal or no Kelly Oubre. And I feel like it's that tournament type of, okay, here we go. It's playoff time. The others, you got to step up. And if they don't have that at their disposal and we just expect, or Dub Nation thinks it's just going to be Steph, I think they're in for a rude awakening. This team needs bodies is all that I'm saying.
Pascal hasn't played in about a month and a half. You got to wonder what he's got. You got to wonder what kind of shape he's in. This from the 406, and I have a feeling that there are a lot of fans out there that are just learning about this play-in scenario. And the 406 said, did I read this correct? The 7 plays the 8 and the 9 plays the 10, but both lower seeds have to win twice. Why wouldn't it be 7 versus 10 and 8 versus 9? I don't understand the logic. You know what? That's the way I felt at first, but I actually like the way it is now. So the bottom line is they give a bigger advantage to 7 and 8 over 9 and 10 because 7 and 8 finish higher than 9 and 10. And they give 7 and 8 essentially a double elimination tournament, Dibs, and 9 and 10 are in a single elimination tournament. it's a little logic defying, but I actually think it makes the most sense and is fair and intriguing at the same time.
Yeah, and it's not a tournament. That's the thing you have to get out of your head, because a tournament is 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, winners play, losers play if it's double elimination, and then the winner of the loser game would wrap around and have to beat the winner twice in that scenario, but they need to cut to the chase. So they didn't quite go so far as what the old Pro Bowlers Tour used to do, you know, where you'd bowl 8 games and then you'd rank 1 through 6 and 6 would play 5 and the winner would play 4 and then the winner would play 3. A true ladder system. This is the best way to do it, where you reward 7 and 8 who in the old way would be playoff teams. So you give them, you know, you got two chances. If you can't win one of two games, you don't deserve to be the 8 seed. That's kind of the vibe in the room. And, you know, if you're the 7, you should beat the 8. If not, you're vulnerable.
And I know I fought back, Steiny, last week with you and Dibs, saying, hey, you know, why the inception of this play-in rule? And now I'm excited. I am excited. I'm going to be watching. But, Dibs, just something you just said, why is the cutoff at 7? Why is the road and terrain much difficult for the 7th, 8th? Like, why wasn't 5 and 6 involved? And where I'm going is, I just don't think it's fair that you do this battle royale, and then those teams that fought to save their lives got to go face, you know, it's David against Goliath in regard to fatigue. That's what I don't like about it. Like, when you qualify, and then you go out and battle. But, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, it's almost like the booby prize.
But it also has made...
You got to battle just to battle, Dibs.
But I like it because it's made the battle for 5 meaningful. Because right now, 5, 6, and 7 are separated by 2 games. 5's got a game on 6, got a game on 7. So we've got action. You got action at the top, although, you know, between Utah and Phoenix, I don't know if there are true honors in being the regular season conference champ. You know, maybe you hang a piece of cloth for that, but you need to get to the finals to make it matter, Steiny. But, you know, the race to avoid 7 is intriguing, and the battle for 10 could still be afoot if San Antonio continues to flounder.
I think the silver lining here is you've got more teams playing for something right now. If the Los Angeles Lakers didn't care or didn't have a play-in game to worry about, then these last 4 games for them wouldn't be important, because they don't really care if they're 5 or 8 at this point. They just don't want to play in a play-in game. And so that's why they're trying to win. Ditto with a team like Sacramento. They would have cashed in their chips 2 weeks ago on the mere fact that they stink. But they still have a sliver of hope. So, heck, they're kind of playing hard too. And you know, you just look at the Warriors. They have something at stake these last 4 games. Whether you like it or not, they do not want to fall into 9, because there's a huge difference between 8 and 9. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Are the Warriors right now the best version of themselves? And the way they're playing right now, making Steph Curry the obvious focal point, do you think this team right now that the Warriors have, and they're playing without Wiseman, Oubre, and Pascal, but do you think this team has the best chance to advance in the postseason? Or do you think that they need more bodies and they've got to take some pressure off Steph Curry? 888-957-9570 is the number, and it's all brought to you by Network Capital Funding.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We got a great show coming up today. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Dave Benz. He's the Minnesota Timberwolves play-by-play announcer. You might be saying, why are you having Dave Benz on? They don't play the Timberwolves. Well, the Timberwolves and Warriors are linked in a big, big way this year. And the Warriors may or may not have a very high draft pick, depending on where the Timberwolves fall in the draft lottery. It's a top 3 protected pick. So if Minnesota gets 1, 2, or 3, they're going to keep that pick. But if they go 4 through 7, 8, 9, whatever, then the Warriors will get that pick. And if you haven't been paying attention to the Timberwolves, they have been winning some games since they made a coaching change. Right now, the Timberwolves are 21-47. They're 13th in the Western Conference, and they're also tied record-wise with Orlando and Cleveland. So there's a big, wide array where they could fall in terms of the standings. And Dave Benz will join us and basically explain all the, borrowing the Dibley word, machinations of the draft lottery to see where they'll fall.
Yeah. Right now they're fourth worst record in the association in our league, Steiny, which means that the fourth worst team has a 36.6% chance of getting a top three pick. If they can get to sixth worst, which you mentioned the tie in which they're locked with Cleveland and Orlando, two teams, by the way, that are straight terrible, Minnesota likely will wind up sixth worst, which only gives them a 27.6% chance of being in the top three. So the Warriors' chance of conveying the pick, as we all like to say, to sound smart, Goo, if they're sixth to worst, it's a 28% chance, 2-7, that the Warriors don't get the pick. 5 out of 7 chances they would get the pick.
Wow. And if they finish Steve Young, Steiny Dibs, 8, the Warriors on their own, they're not in the lottery, right, if I'm correct?
Correct. Wow. So if the Warriors right now, if they win a game in the play-in and then lose a game, as if they're the 9 seed, if they win a game, lose a game, they're going to wind up with the best record of non-playoff teams, which would mean they would be 14th in the lottery, and they would have, I think, a 2% chance of landing the number one pick and like a 97% chance that they'd stay at 14.
Never tell me the odds.
That's if they get eliminated.
Thank you.
That's
correct.
If they don't make it. The bottom line is the way – yes, you're right. Yeah. As soon as you lose a play-in game, boom, you go to the lottery. Even if you're a number 7 seed and you lose, then you have to play another game and you lose again, well, you're going to the lottery even though you may have had a record above 500. So – It's complicated, and Benzy, as we like to call him, former Bay Area guy.
Mercedes.
Yeah.
And we're all Minnesota fans now, because keep winning, Minnesota. Keep winning, because the Warriors fans, I think the Warriors themselves, Steiny, want the pick conveyed, if I read it right, because if Minnesota does finish sixth to worst, the worst that pick could be is ninth.
Yeah, Boy, it looked for a while like Minnesota might be the worst team in the league, and if that would have been the case, I think that would have been fine, because you lose the pick, but then it's unprotected next year. But now you're looking at a scenario in which, maybe you just should take it, even if it's everybody was hoping for the 4, no doubt about it. But I think now you take the 6 if they're giving it to you like that, or I should say if it works out like that. Also, a little news, Warrior-related, as it relates to Friday's game against the Pelicans. The time of that game has been changed from 7 to 6:30. I guess it's now going to be on national television. So if you're going to the Warriors-Pelicans game on Friday, you're just going to watch it or listen to it on 95.7 The Game.
Yep.
It's a 6:30 start now, not a 7 o'clock start. And I may as well say tonight's tip-off against the Utah Jazz is at 7. That means J.D. Covey and Jim Barnett will come on with Warriors Live at 5:30. And
I respect that.
David Locke, who's the radio play-by-play man for Utah, and a great play-by-play man. He's on at 1:30 with us.
And Spadoni with a great text on the inner thread about which Locke will be better, our guest, Mr. Locke, or Guru's Locke du jour, the Locke of the day. And will or will Guru not get a piece of the Warriors? Because Utah minus 2.5, gentlemen, at this hour. So, I mean, Warrior fans are probably hoping and praying that Guru stays off the old GS dub.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, Steiny, I don't want the bait coming at me. So, yeah, your boy going to stay away.
So, in other words, you criticize Kyle Shanahan. You criticize Kyle Shanahan for perhaps letting the fan base impact who he drafts, but you're not going to make a pick because you're letting the fan base impact your pick. pot.
I don't want that Bay Area smoke, Snotty. That's all. That smoke can get thick, man. When they think it's you, the real. I'm not out there. I had nothing to do with the game. But anyway, Dibs. What about, real quick, Dibs, what about the Fairfax shout-out
from our
boy Fitzy? You got to give him some love tomorrow.
Absolute love, and can't wait to thank him in quote-unquote person. It was such a nuanced play, and honestly, it came pitch perfect as the school that Fairfax feeds its kids to, the school formerly known as Sir Francis Drake High School, has been renamed in honor of one of the great athletes, Archie Williams.
Wow.
So it will be Archie Williams High School. Archie's son, Carlos, went to high school with my brother. Archie was a U.S. Olympian in Berlin, 1936, running alongside a guy by the name of Jesse Owens. So an absolute Marin County institution. And so on the day that Fitz did this, it coincides with the great news about Archie Williams.
Raymond flies in for the rebound. But Wiggins made that tough again. Steph, he just shot that from Fairfax.
Fitz with the Fairfax reference.
These guys are special,
my guy. Up next, I think a Reading PA shout out.
Yeah,
but don't know how long we have to wait for that, Steiny.
Well, like I said, if it's a Sixers-Warriors final, that game one will be in whatever it is, this Philly, and then maybe he could say, from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Matt knows because he covered a team for years.
Yeah, thank you,
buddy. I was talking to my neighbor, who's a big basketball fan, big Warriors fan. I was talking to him yesterday, and he's talking about his likes and dislikes of the broadcast. And he says, you know, one of the things I don't like, he just picks a random city. Like, yeah, he said Steph shot one from Fairfax. If I'm lying, I'm dying, he said this to me. And then I had to explain to him why he picked Fairfax. And now
Kyle, real quick, what's your neighbor's name? Give him some love. Because if I was a neighbor and you said neighbor, okay, Ryan, all right.
Yeah.
Give him
some
love.
Shout out to Ryan.
Shot that from Union City.
I mean, and he's done this before we started asking, dare I say, I was begging. Yeah. For the Fairfax shout out, you know,
right. He's
been doing that ever since. Oh, he shot that from San Lorenzo back when they were in the East.
Fitz with us tomorrow at 11:48. I was just wondering, I'm going to ask you guys if you can get Fitz to get me a Brentwood shout out.
Yeah,
one time, that'd be great.
Yeah,
thanks.
I think so.
Yeah,
especially if it's down in Los Angeles in Southern California, because he could say it and the LA people would think he means their Brentwood, but really it's from our Brentwood. So
that'd be a two-way. Don't say that again.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that Fitz does like to do, if you've noticed, Kyle, though, with you know, with Fairfax and with Union City, is even though it's a long, long shot, you know, he does like to keep it in the Bay Area.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
He didn't say Jenner or, you know,
yeah.
Mendocino. The thing about the shot from Fairfax is something that our boss threw out on the call. It's the idea of the commonplace 35-footer now, because he just kind of dribbled into that, right?
Just a
little catch and shoot. It was like he was shooting a free throw in pregame. Is this what the league wants, Steiny? Do they want maybe a four-point shot, dare I say? Because that would have been, we got to go to review to see if his toe's on the line for a four-pointer. This is crazy.
I'll say it, boy.
There you go. I'm gonna give you two.
You
mentioned in the green room, Stein.
I don't know
the amount of threes. What, Steph's averaging 18 3-point attempts a game over the past six.
Yeah,
he's averaging 12.8 for the season.
Yeah,
which I'm checking with the crack staff or the staff on crack. I can't remember which one we have today. That's got to be a record for
three-point
field goal attempts per game. It's just mind-boggling.
You got to Google it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, the funny thing is he took 17.6 three-pointers a game over the last six. And it's just kind of mind-boggling that a guy's taking that many threes. And, of course, he's making them at a very high rate. And I just wonder, you know – when I think of basketball history, you think of, you know, Lew Alcindor, formerly Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain, and how rules were enacted to help even out the playing field. Now, those guys were big. They were seven-footers. But I do wonder, as I'm watching Steph Curry kind of making a mockery of this line, what do you want to do if you're the NBA? Do you want to keep it as is? Where that line is? Do you want to lengthen it? Maybe push it out another 2 or 3 feet to see if that makes a little bit of a difference? Or, and I'll tell you, I never thought I'd think it was within the realm of possibility, but do you want to start thinking about what Phil Jackson brought up about a decade ago of the idea of a 4-point shot? I don't know what the answer is, but Dibs, you asked a great question in the green room about, is this broken? Is the NBA broken because half the shots about per game are now 3-pointers? And I'm not sure. I think depending on you, who you ask, you're going to get a different answer. So with that said, I'll ask Guru, is this thing with the 3-point line and the fouling from behind the 3-point line and the abundance of shots and the importance of it and all of it, is it good, or does the NBA need to figure something out here?
They need to figure something out, and I can separate the two. The game is broken, and the reason it's broken is everybody's playing the same style. It's too redundant for me. It's too easy to make a three. But I will add this. I would lobby to push the 3-point line back, and then that way we can get back to that shot being sacred. Because right now I miss the mid-range, the Sam Cassells, the DeMar DeRozans. I miss the ball going on the post. So I guess it's a choice, Dibs. It's not a rule that has made that, you know, a thing of the past. But to Steph Curry's point of view, the guys Steiny just mentioned, they had physical attributes to where you had to change the rule or even think about it. What Steph is doing is so mesmerizing and incredible, capital I, that you can't penalize him, or I don't want to penalize him for being so skilled at his said craft. And when I think about it, Dibs, there is no other Steph Curry coming. What other dominant force in our league can hit the great button like Steph Curry? He's great at what he needs to do better than any other player, even LeBron. And that's why I think he has an advantage, but he's worked on that, and I don't want to penalize him for that, if that makes any sense.
See, that's where I have to think about it, because I agree with you, but you're not penalizing Steph, because he's going to be good no matter where you put that line, and he's going to be the best of the best. What you would do, and mainly it's the corner three. You start with the corner three, you widen the damn court, because, you know, back in the day when Naismith came up with this great game, he didn't imagine Kevin Durant size, Giannis Antetokounmpo size guys, you know, roaming the painted area. So you make the corner three legit again. The problem's not Steph. It's every other team that tries to emulate. It's an emulation sensation, some may say. The Boston game last night against the Heat, 130-124, there were 73 three-point shots taken. I don't know if that's the most entertaining brand of basketball to me when you've got that much three-point shooting. By the way, there were 48 free throws as well. So let's just go ahead and forget defense. We'll turn it into the old hotspot game. Remember, Steiny, where you had 60 seconds to shoot? There was the 5-point shot. There was the 4-point shot. There was the 3, the 2. And let's just call that basketball, because all it is right now is just a game of high-speed horse.
888-957-9570 is the number. I'm interested to hear Warrior fans and the way they approach this, because obviously Curry's the greatest three-point shooter in the history of the game, not even close. But is it too much? Or would you like to see him take more? I mean, if you're a Warrior fan, I'd want a 4-point shot right around the hash mark, I guess, and beyond. But is that really where we're headed right now? Or, you know, does it just need tinkering? So it's like, do you like it the way it is? Do you want even more of it? Or do you want to mess with that line to tinker? I mean, there are things you can do without having to touch the line in terms of moving it out or in. The question is, I'm not sure the NBA wants it. I'm not sure the NBA wants to go back to allowing a little more contact on the perimeter. I'm not sure they want to go back to that. And if they go back to that, then the percentage will come down. I really think we've gotten to the point with guys like Curry and James Harden that defenders aren't even – they can't even contest the damn shot.
Right.
Because there's only thing worse than you know, letting Steph Curry take an uncontested three, and it's fouling Steph Curry from three-point range. So you're left with two awful choices, and the offensive player has gotten such the benefit of the doubt that Curry has basically become unguardable from out there.
We're just 5 years removed from the 2016 finals, and I remember a lot of people, not just media, you know, friends, family, everybody was out there, oh, they're being too rough with Steph. They're doing this or that, you know, Dellavedova, they're grabbing his jersey. Dibs, do you think that 5 years is really 10 years? Like, could you play that style of defense now? Because I'm wondering, and I want Steph to get his, and he's doing it, but what happened to the physicality, or do you think that's what Steiny just talked about? The rule on the three with the guy getting the defender in the air, and then also being able to tug on the jersey, and have they just got rid of that as well, and that's why it's hard to defend?
That's all of it and more. The fact that the gather step now is – it used to be what you did before you stepped on an escalator, a moving sidewalk. You know, you didn't want to make sure you caught your foot, so you did a little gather step. But now everything's a gather and then a two-step and hop. Additionally, they need to do away with continuation once and for all. And they call it sparingly. The three-point shot is the worst example where I catch and I just kind of throw my hip into you and throw it at the rim. And, you know, then we're pointing up, it's three free throws. No, it's only going to be a shooting foul when you're clearly shooting and then you're fouled. So there's ways to give the defense micro advantages back. Bob Fitzgerald, tomorrow at 11:48, crushes all my suggestions and defends the refs, but that's tomorrow.
The one thing, though, Fitz has been pretty consistent, at least as I've heard him on the air, about he's not crazy about the three-point fouls on three-point shooters. Right. Either.
And he's quick to defend the refs who are simply enforcing the rules and, you know, things like the clear path foul. You know, and we have to go to review for everything. There's so many things that need to get fixed, but for me, the easy fix to make the three a real shot again is widen the court and make the corner three. I mean, we survived this year without much courtside seating, right? I mean, how many of us have missed that? The jabroni with the spilled diet soda in the second quarter and the imbecile standing up and getting in the way. And I don't miss. I mean, and I know, Mr. Lacob, those are some of your big ticket spenders, but they'll be happy to sit behind courtside. Let's do away with courtside seating. Widen the court. No more courtside fans. Beat it.
Let's go to Bob's in West Oakland.
Am I not speaking to the people here, Steiny?
Well, you just gave away about $2 million, you know, about $500,000 a game for much. Joe Lacob.
Cash
incorrect.
Me out one time!
The premium seat is still the premium seat. Just because you're not sitting two seats away from, you know, Jaren Collins and listening in on the huddle, give me a break. Let the pros work.
Let's go to Bob. Bob's in West Oakland. What's up, Bob?
Hey, yeah, just wanted to comment on the current conversation. The court definitely doesn't need to be changed. Four-point shot line statistically is the same as a three. It's better to take it. Widening the court doesn't do anything. Also, you'd have to widen every middle school, high school court ever. That's not going to happen. What they do need to bring back is real defense. You should be able to hand check. You should be able to body. Mm. Also, Steph is including a bunch of people in the game that couldn't get into the game. You had to be 7 foot to be great. Now you can be 6'4" and have dope skills. It's sick. It's awesome to see, and the game's changing, and it's dope.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Wrong about the widening of middle school courts. They don't have the same three-point line as college, nor is it the same as the NBA. So, that Your Honor, I'd like that stricken from the record.
You just have to be 6'4", too, guys. Just 6'4".
That's all. Wow. That's all. What's the big deal? Guru 6'4".
I'm actually a proponent.
6'5", but I'm tipsy. Yeah.
I'm actually I'm a proponent of making that damn line standard, believe it or not, and having whether you're in seventh grade, the line should be the NBA line. And I think that would discourage kids who aren't strong enough to shoot a three from shooting a three.
Let me ask you this, guys, and not to take the show off the track, but over the weekend, man, Friday mainly, I was thinking about Russell Westbrook in this triple-double. And I don't believe he's gotten his flowers, Steiny, and I know you're not big on rebounding or the new rebounding, but do you think his triple-double streak is a byproduct of the three-point era, the barrage of threes that we see, that now the big man could be in position, but he ain't getting a three because they're going so long? And where I'm going, Dibs and Steiny, with what he's done, do you look at that now because it's easier to me to rebound more than ever? Like, no big deal. I'm not giving Russ his flowers for a triple-double because a triple-double is not what it used to be. It's not as difficult.
It's not because there are more rebounds available with a faster tempo game and more shots, and the percentages of makes pretty static, pretty stagnant, maybe a little higher than it used to be, but many, many more shots. What I will give him flowers for is you don't see a lot of guys averaging triple-doubles, and that's for a reason. And he, when he's out there, he's involved in the game for better or for worse.
Great
when
call.
You know, he's going to the glass, he's looking to score, he'll distribute, the ball's in his hands. He's a part of the action, and for that I give him full credit.
Yeah, I mean there's more possessions. There's more points. So if there's more points in possessions, there's got to be more rebounds, and if there's more points in possessions, there's got to be more assists. So there's just more numbers out there to be gotten, to tell you the truth. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I mean,
like if I told you, Steiny, because real quick, I got to bring it home. When Draymond gets a triple double, and not you two, we go wild, hog wild, and rightfully so. What I'm asking, if I told you said player, you know what, Steiny, this dude on your team is going to get a triple double, would you look at that and just sniff it like a dog that don't want to eat the food, or is that not a big deal? A guy
it's
that
not,
could average a triple double.
Sometimes it's not a big deal. It's got to come in the context of a game. You know, it's like when a guy scores 30 and they lose by 19. I mean, that's not a 30 where the guy helps his team win a 5-point.
Kobe!
As far as, you know, that's just me.
Nobody did that better.
I'm not saying it's, I'm not saying.
I hear you.
It's not a nice little achievement, but honestly, there's more of that stuff. You know, it's more home runs in baseball, more 3-pointers in basketball, all those kind of things. All right, 888-957-9570 again is the number. How are you feeling about how many 3-pointers are taken in an NBA game? Is it too many? Is it just right? Do you want to see more of it? Dibley asked this question, and I just thought it was interesting. Is the game broken a little bit, the NBA game? And then also, you know, the Golden State Warriors are banged up right now, and yet they may be playing their best basketball of the season. What's the best version of the Warriors that's out there, and what gives them the best chance to win a play-in game and give that first-round playoff series if they make it? What's going to make that or give the Golden State Warriors their best chance? Which unit, which players, etc.? That's all brought to you by MB Jesse. Are you in need of quality painting? MB Jesse Painting offers the most trusted painting services in the Bay Area. Their experts have been helping the Bay Area for 25 years. Visit mbjesse.com for a free quote today. That's MB Jesse Painting.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Number two in the league amongst rookies in assists per night is Halliburton. Edwards gets through the paint, and Ants can't swim, and he swam through the paint in the defense that time.
Oh, yeah.
That was Dave Benz. He's the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. What the hell do we have Dave Benz on for, you're asking? Well, Dave Benz is coming on in 10 minutes. And I'll tell you what, you're going to want to stick close because he understands this Minnesota pick and how it gets to the Warriors, how it doesn't get to the Warriors, and the odds of everything. So we figure with four games left, one of the big pieces of the Warriors' future is this protected pick that they have with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Minnesota Timberwolves been playing better ball as of late. So we got Dave Benz on for 5 or 10 minutes. To basically,
maybe half an hour, Steiny. Friend of the program. He's family. He's a seasonal.
Ants can't swim.
It's so great. Seasonal Bay Arean, Goo. He spends his off-season time here. So, Ben.
Steiny brought him, introduced me when we were doing the pre and post, Dibs. Good dude in person, not just TV. You know, you can feel the vibe.
Without a doubt. And the Ants Can't Swim call we featured one time in last night in our league, which is up in moments. And Turns out, Steiny, he throws ant facts on the regular for Anthony Edwards, which I definitely want to ask him about as a former, hopefully a future play-by-play voice myself. Just, you know, the ant facts. It's fascinating. Well,
yeah, and if you want dibs, I'll start him out with a very, very easy one about, you know, how many times their own weight can an ant lift? I mean, that's good. If you don't know that, you have no business talking about ants.
You're right. You're right. That's actually...
I think it's about 50, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's accurate.
They got one superhero, Steiny, real quick. His name is Ant-Man. Yeah. I rebuke him. He is not a superhero. Ant-Man, they got movies. I'm out, Steiny. I'm out.
Okay. All right. Goo.
Goo, did you know that the original Ant-Man was just an Ant-Man?
The original Spider-Man was only a Spider-Man. Keep laughing, Goo, and I'm not going to set you up for the thing you want to talk about.
I saw you. I saw you, Scotty.
Man.
Dave, seriously, before we go to last night in our league, Goo wants to pitch something, and it's worthwhile for sure.
Yeah, I got
to
get this off my chest, Dibs. And as the volleyball coach for O'Dowd, you know about high school sports. So my alma mater, James Logan High School, has a boys and girls basketball program. And it was brought to my attention that the girls cannot share the shooting machine that the boys use. So I put a GoFundMe on all my social media. But what progress have we made? Now, I love my alma mater, but you got to get it fixed. There's six other schools in their division, and the girls and boys of those schools share the shooting machine. Why is Logan any different to where the girls now got to go get a GoFundMe to use? That's a double standard. I don't like it. And I thought back to the training facility we saw in the tournament with the boys and girls. One, real quick, guys, how shocked are you? And two, I'm doing everything I can. Shout out to the Horning family for bringing this to my attention. That's not cool. Come on, man. And the way I guess they paid for the boys' machine, the shooting machine, it can't be shared with the girls from the same school. That's
my first question.
Yeah,
why
that's the
not?
Rule.
There are no rules. There are no laws.
It was the way that it was paid for, if I understand correctly, that it cannot be shared with the girls' program, Dibs, and that has me irate.
That's a joke if that's the nature of it, because a shooting machine lives in the gym. At O'Dowd, you know, the only person not allowed to use the shooting machine was me. It's because I was hoisting bricks and they were afraid I might break it. But the shooting machine is open for use. Man. I don't understand that proprietary nature of it. That's disappointing, especially for a school, Steiny, the Bay Area's largest high school. Based on population.
You should have four shooting machines there.
Come on. Yeah. Now go to my Twitter page, Triple D Guru, and you'll see the whole note and, you know, what it entails. But I just don't like that. And Logan, you don't want that bad press to where it's good for the boys, Steiny, but not good for the women.
Yeah, it's a joke. It's a joke. Yeah. And I would challenge. I need, you know, this is one of those things that now I've got a lot of questions. What do you mean they can't share? I need a clarification on that. That's the crazy thing. But Dibs, you brought a funny story, made me think of a funny story when you're like, yeah, I couldn't shoot at the baskets at O'Dowd. My buddy Andre coaches golf, I believe at Branson or one of those schools out in Western Marin or Marin, and they practice at the Meadow Club, Dibs, this high school, which is one of the most prestigious courses in the Bay Area.
It's incredible. Yes.
What? But here's the rub. Uh-oh. The coach cannot play. He cannot play. He can only coach. Because I guess they want to avoid, you know, somebody like me saying, I'll tell you what, I'll coach golf. Coach golf up in
without
France.
A doubt. Well, normally the golf coach plays behind the last group, Goo. And that way you're out on the course, and in case there's any questions, you're out there. And it's kind of one of the perks of being a golf coach. But to not be able to play Meadow is too much temptation, not enough fulfillment.
When you, real quick here, guys, when you say prestige, what does that based on, Steiny? Is it the amenities? Is it the view? What makes it so prestigious?
Yes.
Yeah, those two things and more. Course quality, golf gravitas, who the golf designer is, you know, what are the relative private levels of it. There's levels to it, Guru.
How hard is it to play? Like, how hard is it to actually get onto the course to play a round of golf?
Wow, man.
For example, Olympic Club, two courses. Schlubs like Steiny and I, we can get on those courses with some assistance. Lake Merced, notch above, we can get there, but it'll take a little bit more legwork. You get up to San Francisco Golf Club. Shout out Bobby Fitz, still waiting on that phone call. That's a tougher code to crack. So there's levels
to it.
I'm trying, Bob.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's right. San Francisco Golf Club is that's a place I haven't played yet, and I'm wondering why the hell I've not been invited there yet by somebody, anybody. So if you want to get on my good side, 888-957-9570 to call or text. No. But anyway, that just reminded me of that story.
Fix that for James my girl, Stani. I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate it. Tonight the Warriors play the Utah Jazz, 7 o'clock start. And it's possible, guys, this could be their first round matchup. All that would have to happen would be the Warriors finish 7th or 8th, and Utah finishes 1st and 2nd. So my question, Goo, is when you look at the Warriors' season, Goo and Dibs, when were they playing their best basketball, and what kind of unit or what group of players gives them their best chance to win a play-in game and then give somebody a problem in the first round of the tourney, the first round of the playoffs, rather?
I got to say this to both of you, and I'm participating in this exercise, Stani, and I'm trying to answer your question. I honestly feel this. I don't believe as a whole they played their best basketball, and that's why I'm looking forward, and the euphoria is going throughout my body, Dibs, that we're going to see that on this next level. And if my life depended on it, you need Oubre, Wiggins, Steph, Dre, and I'll go Looney. That's my five. To close out a game or give you the best chance to bring it home and give Utah or Phoenix or whoever they play in this first-round matchup problems. I think they haven't gelled yet.
I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think they're starting to gel with this team. And I really think that their best chance is Curry and everybody else right now. I don't want Oubre coming back sniffing out his 15 shots a game. You know, I don't want Eric Paschal coming back, trying to get back into playing shape as they're playing important games. I mean, I just look and I think they're as together as they've been. I think they're shorthanded. They know they're shorthanded, but I'm telling you, Toscano Anderson, Mulder, Damian Lee, Bazemore. They're limited, but they understand the only way they can be successful is to basically, Dibs, give the ball to Steph Curry in the right spots.
And have him shoot 26 times because you're not going to get much offense elsewhere.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Why don't we'll push last night in our league back to 11:05. We got Dave Benz coming up in 2 or 3 minutes. Warriors stretch drive right now. 4 games left, and they're trying to get that number 8 seed to be sure. Let's go out to let's take a call or two before we get Dave Benz. Oh, we no calls? I thought we had somebody on the line. All right, that's fine. So the Warriors finish up with the Jazz, then they finish up with Phoenix. They finish up with the Pelicans, and then the last game against the Memphis Grizzlies, everybody, the Memphis Grizzlies. Hey, how important do you think it is, guys, that Curry wins the scoring title?
Very important. I get the sense that it's very important to him. When asked the other day if he had seen Bradley Beal's performance, he said, of course I have. So that tells me all I need to know. Now, Steph Curry, fortunately, in his pursuit for the scoring title, won't be doing things that go beyond the purview of what the team wants him to do anyway.
Yeah. All right, we got Dave Benz, one of our favorites. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey.